chapter 5.
I preached this, some of this, a couple weeks ago, at 10 o'clock. We'll see if God will visit this again and consider this again. The thought tonight is, do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe it? Do you believe the Word of God? My Sunday school teacher, Mr. Morey, used to preach to us, and in my heart, and even openly, I would disagree with him. He said, belief demands an action. The kind of belief that we have in God will make you act upon that belief. Belief demands an action. Mr. Mark here prayed in the back room the other week. He prayed, God, we want righteousness, and we want to be filled with righteousness. We know that the scriptures are clear. If you want righteousness, God wants you to have it, and you will get it. He said, if you seek it. You have to seek it lawfully. You have to seek it by the scriptures. So we're going to consider what the scriptures say. We're going to look at that, and you have to think to yourself, do I believe the scriptures? Do I believe the scriptures? God is not one that thinks more highly of another man over one. God does not take favorites with people. God wants to help all people. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you want to sum it all up in this, what does God have against man? They do not love their neighbor as their self. You can apply that in every way. You can take all the laws of God. It's said in the scriptures, you can take all the laws of God and you can sum them up in that one thing. God has a problem with you because you will not love your neighbor as yourself. If you'd love your neighbor as yourself, you and God would be fine. There'd be no law over your head. Verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a commandment from God. We'll lay that out first. We're going to consider tonight walking in the Spirit. And we know that it is a commandment from God. Let's read on. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. I asked this question before. I think it's a pretty good question to keep asking. Does a lost person have the fruit of the Spirit? Is there any fruit in a lost person that God sees and takes pleasure in? Is God pleased with a lost person? Does God love a lost person? Absolutely. Amen and amen. God loves lost people. God gave his own son that while we were yet enemies, God did these things for us. But let's read these works of the flesh. If you're a lost person, this is the only fruit of your life. There is no other fruit. You cannot find another fruit in your life. You don't find any goodness in your life. God is a much more sure searcher of the inward of a man. It said that man looketh on the outward, but God looketh upon the heart. And God does a very good job searching you out. God searches you out better than you search yourself out. God searches you out better than anybody else searches you out. God knows the inside of you. And this is what God sees if you're a lost person. Amen and amen. And we'll also see doctrinally that if you walk not in the Spirit, this is what God sees when you're a saved person. He does see that blood. God's never going to get rid of you. God's mercy endureth forever if you're saved. God's mercy endureth forever. But this will be the works of your life. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you see those fruits, free from the law. Oh, sinner, believe it. Free from the law. God says that the law doesn't have anything against you if he sees those fruits in your life. But let me tell you, lost person, he does not. And saved person that walks not in the Spirit, he does not. We're going to see that God's going to work death in your life. God will do that to even your body. God will hurt your body. God wants to get a hold of a saved person. I've heard that preached over and over. The Bible says nobody loves chastening. No son enjoys chastening from a father. But God is faithful. It says God will be not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God is not mocked. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Hallelujah. That was done for us on the cross. Thank you, Nick. Amen. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's Paul. He reasons with people all the time. He says, let's reckon these things. Let's reason these things out. Paul wants to reason with you. So you need to reason with Paul. He said, if we live in the Spirit, and you do live in the Spirit, because Christ has done that circumcision on you that's done without hands, you're seated in heavenly places. If you live in the Spirit, and if you're saved, you do. He said, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us do that. First off, we saw that it's a commandment. But Paul just said, let's reason. Let's consider this. If you live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. It's pretty damaging if you don't. There's no fruit if you don't. There's no fruit in somebody's life that doesn't walk in the Spirit. There's no mix. God does not mix. He does not mix with unrighteous mammon. God does not mix. He said, if you serve one, you shall love that master. If you serve the other, you shall love that master. There is no mixing of masters. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Shocking that Paul would put that at the end of that chapter, but that's a pretty connected subject. It's a pretty connected subject. Walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let us not. Paul connected it. I did not. Romans chapter 6. We're going to read the entirety of the chapter, but let's consider it. Pay close attention. Let me ask you, please pay close attention to this as I read it. I'll try to read it in such a way that it follows the commas and the periods and the colons, and we're gonna try to understand what Paul's trying to tell us. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I'll first say this. We read that about walking in the Spirit and the fruit and the works of the flesh. Why is God still good to you if you don't walk in the Spirit? Because he's gracious. Mercy. Amen, Miss Amy. Amen. God's still good to you when you don't walk in the Spirit. God has grace. It's that unmerited favor. My dad talks about a time when he didn't walk in the Spirit, but God still taught him out of the Bible. He still met with God, and God was still good to him. Why does God do that? Because he's gracious. God is gracious. God extends grace to people. So what does Paul say about that? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. For if ye have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him.
knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Paul said, reckon it. Doesn't happen automatically. Paul told us to reckon this. Reckon this.
Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. We're going to see that more and more.
If you let it reign in your body, it's because you got a lust problem. You got a lust problem, and an effect of that problem is more lust.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?
This is a similar doctrine that Jesus Christ laid out. The idea of who you serve, that's who your master is. And you know what? If you walk after the flesh and you're a saved person, your master isn't God. It's not what you do. That's what Paul said. It said your master is not God. And you don't do the works of God. You do the works of the devil. You do those works and they're going to appear everywhere. And you'll think, no, those won't appear in me. James, the end of James chapter 3, talks about the wisdom that's from this earth, sensual and wicked. That's going to be the wisdom that people hear of you. You'll have all these wonderful fluffy words to say, but if you have the works of the flesh, your wisdom is evil. And we're going to read that word, and it's going to say it that strongly. It's not going to say it any more strongly than I said it. It'll say it just like that. Evil. Your works are evil if you don't walk in the Spirit. That's the only fruit. That's the only works. That's the only product if you don't walk in the Spirit. Let's continue on.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Hallelujah.
The first time I read that, my brother Michael told me, you ought to look into this. You ought to look up lust all places in the Bible. And I started looking into lust. And I read that the first time, and I'll tell you what, I did not believe it. I could not believe it. I could not believe the word of God before me. I've always heard you need to believe the word of God. You must believe the word of God. And I found some verses. It's pretty hard to believe. Is it the truth or is it not the truth?
Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness.
Do you yield your members servants? I know of the degree that I myself yielded myself my members servants to sin. I know of the degree, and it's a great degree. Night after night without sleep, night after night striving, pushing after sin. If you're not to that level, after what? After God, after righteousness, you don't strive that hard for righteousness. You're not at the level that Paul tells you to be at. Paul wants you to push as hard as you did as a lost person. Paul wants you to push just that hard. And you know what? You sought sin very hard in your lost condition. You sought it very hard. Paul wants you to seek righteousness that hard. In the commandment, there is power. This is not a gospel without power. This is a gospel of power. This is a doctrine that God will help you with.
Amen. Amen.
For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness.
When you were the servants of sin, you had no problem with righteousness. You couldn't be righteous. There was no righteousness in you. You didn't have to worry about it. You didn't have to worry about it. Paul says to account it the same way with being a servant of righteousness. Don't have to worry about sin. Don't have to worry about that nature. Don't have to worry about it. Why do we worry about it? We're going to see it more and more. You got a big problem. You got a big problem. I heard a message that
Pastor Vernon preached in August on your problem is you're broken and you don't want to admit it. Your problem is you're very broken and you're perverse and you love being broken. You love your perverseness. You love your sin. You're going to see that more and more, that your problem, if you don't walk in the Spirit, is because you are a lover of wickedness. You're a lover of wickedness. You're not one that just goes on by day without walking in the Spirit. You don't go on day by day without walking in the Spirit. You go on day by day loving wickedness. You have a deep and abiding love for wickedness that God wants to root out of you. God wants it gone. God doesn't put demands on people that they can't do. Gideon, thou great man. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. He said that to save people. That's what it is. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit and of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, but the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God wants you to live a life of peace. God wants you to have life abounding more and more. More and more, God wants to help you. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Consider your life. Does your life please God? Consider your life. Does your life please God? If you're in the flesh, cannot please God. Cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Hallelujah. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, God's done all this work for you. God's done it all. He done all of that. It's all very clearly written out. Why do we walk after the flesh? Why do we live after the flesh? But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I know that's talking about the adoption. God wants to do a great work for you. You have this flesh problem. God wants to even take care of your flesh for you. God will adopt that flesh. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You're not a debtor to the flesh. You don't have to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Paul said, I die daily. You shall live if you mortify the deeds of the body. Let's go back a chapter. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. You might think for a second, if you don't know other scriptures and you just take these couple verses that I'm about to read, you might think that you'd be A-okay walking after the flesh. You might think you'd be fine because there's really, what else can you do? I'm in this body of flesh. What else can I do? You might think you'd be okay doing that. So let's read on. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. There's no hope for me. I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. Those things I do, I don't even allow those things, but I do them. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. How do you do what's good with this flesh? You cannot. Sin is in this flesh. That sin nature is in this flesh. Paul said, I find not. I find not. Paul knows more Bible than we do, and he said, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And we know that in the following chapters, God intends to deliver us from the body of this death. God intends to deliver us. God has a body prepared for us. God wants to take us in. God will even take care of that. But consider this. Paul's told you, walk in the Spirit that you fulfill not the lust thereof. Paul's told you to do that. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. What do you do with that sin? What do you do with it? What can be done with sin? What can be done with sin? What do you think can be done with sin? Paul said, to do that which I would, I find not. What can you do with sin? What can you do with it? Let's turn to, forgot to write this verse down, but it's kind of a crux of this thing, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Simple question. Can you lay aside the sin, or is that an impossibility? Paul said you can't do anything with it. Nothing you can do with this flesh. You cannot make the flesh right with God. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. That's why it said God is a spirit. God has helped us. God has given us that inward man, but you can't do anything with the flesh. You cannot do anything with the flesh. But what does Paul say? Wherefore? He said, let us lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. Paul tells you to lay it aside. Put it to the side. Put it to the side and walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. But why don't we? We don't believe the Word of God. Ms. Tanya, I believe that you could walk in the Spirit as well as Sammy Allen ever did. I believe you could do that today. I believe that with everything in me. I believe that. I believe that because God showed it to me in the Word of God. I believe that because I read it in the Word of God and I realized I don't believe the Word of God. But God showed me it. God showed me it out of the Word of God, and you must believe the Word of God to believe that. If you can believe that, you believe the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm weak. I struggle. There's my excuse. Spoke with my mom about this last night. We might think I'm weak. Oh, man. But I can't walk in the Spirit. I'm weak. Hey, God had a plan. God had a better plan. Hey, even Paul was fooled by that one. Paul the apostle was fooled by that one. He thought better than God, and God told him something even better. God helped out the apostle Paul when he was really low. Let's read about it. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might be depart from me.
Paul besought God. He said, God, help me with this. Thrice he besought God. Help me with this, God. Help me.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Your weakness is no excuse, because God wants you when you're weak. God wants to take you when you're weak. God wants to use the weakest among us. God would like to exalt the weakest among us. God would like to lift him up. When did God lift up Jesus Christ? When he said, O my soul, why art thou cast down? God lift up Jesus Christ when he was his lowest. God lift him up. He said, hope in the Lord. My God, because of the help of his countenance. It said that Jesus Christ said when he was at his lowest, he said, God is the help of my countenance. You could not, no saint will ever be as low as Jesus Christ was low. And Jesus Christ at that low point, he said that God is the help of my countenance. Jesus Christ at his lowest point had a good countenance. He had a healthy countenance at his lowest point. At his very lowest, Jesus Christ had a healthy countenance. God can do that for you. God is able. Thank God, John Mark. Amen. Mark chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, excuse me. Jesus Christ was pretty plain. He did not mince words what he says here. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen, Mark. Amen. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Bible says you shall be filled. You might have a problem in that you are already filled. You're already filled. You already have enough in your belly. Your God is your belly. And you've done all the filling that it needs. You don't need God to fill your belly. That's why you're not hungry. But if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, the Bible says, ye shall be filled. If you hunger and thirst, the problem is, Eric Balo, we have the world turned up too high. We have the world turned up way too high and we're filled to the brim. We don't need any God. Because we have all our devices. And I mean even your phone, your device. But we have all our devices. We don't need God in our life. Why don't we seek God? I don't believe you'd have to tell a spirit-filled person to pray. You wouldn't have to tell a spirit-filled person to study and to pray and to read. You wouldn't have to tell a spirit-filled person it's church time. Because they would hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the Bible says that they shall be filled. We preach so much to people. I hear preaching over and over about you must study, you must read, you must pray. It's because people aren't hungry. People aren't thirsty for God. You're not hungry, lost person. You're not thirsty for God. Let me quote my Sunday school teacher, lest you think I'm the jerk. He's the jerk. You're not hungry because it's evident. Because if you were hungry, you would want nothing else but Jesus Christ. You'd want nothing else but his righteousness. Kimberly, God wants you to be born again. God wants that for you. You need to become hungry and thirsty for righteousness.
Amen.
2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Verse
have ideas in our mind that are against God. That's why we've turned here. We've turned here to consider what God's opinion is of your ideas and those things you have in your mind. The Bible says that they exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. You have thoughts that are not in agreement with doctrine. And God wants you to believe doctrine. God wants you to believe truth. God wants you to do that.
Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
That's a possibility. The problem is, you don't want to agree with God. We're going to see what the problem is, and it's much harsher than what I just said. But the problem is, you don't want to agree with God. But God wants you to agree with Him. God commands you to agree with Him. You know how much God... The first thing Jesus Christ ever preached, you might think that you're in a good place, but until you've repented and believed, you're not in a good place. You're not among the church. Pastor Black said this one time, and it rang very true with me. He was giving his testimony, and he said, I grew up in church, and I had a dad for a pastor, and I always thought, I'm among the church because I'm here with all God's people, and God's blessed me. And he said this to me, and I believe he's true because I've heard him talk about it. He did not know a man more zealous than himself, a lost man. He did not know anybody more zealous than himself. Nobody that would get up earlier, nobody that would go further, nobody that was more excited to be in church, nobody that wanted to read their Bible more. But he found out that he wasn't of the people of God. He was none of God's. He was not God's people. He was far from God's people. But we assume because we go to church, we're God's people. No, not all of Israel, not all of the stock of Israel are Israel. I don't know how that verse goes, but essentially the doctrine of it is just because you were born out of Israel doesn't mean God sees you as His chosen people. That's what the Bible says. Just because you go to church doesn't mean it's all right. Until you have changed your mind and agreed with God, that's what I was going to say. Until you've repented, as Jesus Christ said, and until you believed. That's the first thing He ever preached. Until you've done the first thing He preached, quit trying to figure out the rest. Until you've done the first thing He preached, don't try to think you're going to figure out the rest. You're not going to be a giver and a donator and giving things to God and making God happy by your donating and your giving and your time. And God is not pleased with your donations if you have never repented. It said sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not. God didn't even want the sacrifices, yet He commanded them to give it. It did not please God because they would not repent. That's a very foolish thought to think you're doing something else that pleases God. Consider in your own heart. Do you think you're pleasing God and you've never repented and believed? Consider that in your heart. Let's go to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We have a lot of knowledge, but what have you done with it? The Bible says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Charity is not puffed up. So what do you do with knowledge? Look at this. Through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Problem is you don't do anything through the knowledge. You don't use that knowledge. It just puffs up. It festers. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. If God's called you to walk in the Spirit and He's given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness, don't you think He'd allow you to do it? Don't you think He'd have the power to do it? We could have, thank you. It is what it says. We could have a great, great testimony among people. You know, we wouldn't probably have to even say much because people would notice. People would notice your walk is so different because you walk in the Spirit. People would notice because you spend a lot more time praying. You spend a lot more time studying. You spend a lot more time thinking about God. You wouldn't have to pump anybody to praise God. It'd be at their lips because they praised God in secret. They praise God in secret. God wants you to dwell in that secret place. Psalm 91, verse 1. He calls us to dwell in that secret place. Spirit-filled people do not dwell there. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He called us to glory and virtue. He glorified us, is what Ephesians chapter 2 says. He glorified us. Excuse me, Romans chapter 8. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. God gave us a way. God gave us a much better way to walk. He gave us a divine nature. God gave us an inward man. You do not have to walk after the flesh. God gave us an inward man. Thank God. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Have you escaped that corruption that is in the world through lust? Or are you a lust-filled person? No. The problem with you being a lust-filled person, here's the real crux of the matter, is that you love it. Say it out loud. You love lust more than God. You ought to pray that to God. Just tell him the truth. Say, God, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I love lust more than you. I hate you, God, and I love wickedness. Right. You ought to tell him the truth. Amen. You ought to tell him the truth because God knows it. It says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. You will see it. You may even try lying to yourself about it, but you're going to see it and everybody else will see it because God will make it manifest. God will especially make it manifest if you're a saved person because God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you barren and unfruitful? Are you barren and unfruitful? Consider these things. Christ has not called us to walk barren and unfruitful. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You forgot because you lack these things and you walk in a life that lacks these things. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. That is blasphemy. I live a life of falling. I live a doctrine of falling. Blasphemy. How dare you believe that you need never fall? How dare you believe that? It's what Apostle Paul believed. Or Peter believed, rather. It's what Peter believed. He believed it. And you know what? God believed it. He wrote it in his word. God believed it. He said, if you're bound in these things, you need never fall. Amen. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Consider this. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God will minister an entrance unto you, for you. God will do that for you. God wants you to be connected to heaven. God wants you to be connected to heaven so much that he says, think on things above. Amen. Set your affections on things that are above. You don't have to preach to a spirit-filled person to live right. You don't have to preach that to them because they're living right. Amen. You don't have to tell a spirit-filled person to praise God and to thank God and to bless God. You do not have to tell them that because they do it. Oh my. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. In case you think these things are too hard, my mother gave me a verse last night. It is cheating. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. God gave me rest. God gave Jesus Christ rest. I've considered that time after time. I ride home from work sometimes and I hear some songs on rest, and I consider when I did not have rest. And I consider that God has given me rest. And I consider those around me that God has given rest. And I consider that God wants to give you rest.
Amen. Amen.
Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Are you too proud, sinner, to get saved? I think some sinners are too proud to get saved. I think sometimes that sinners are too proud to get saved. You have too much pride to get saved. No, God wants to give you rest. There is a great rest from the Father. Don't be too proud to get saved. Don't be too proud. I beg of you, don't be too proud to get saved. God wants to give you rest. Back to the subject matter. In case you thought these things were too hard, the Bible says this. Jesus Christ says this. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Are these things hard? Is it hard to walk in the Spirit? Is it hard to walk in the Spirit? Is it heavy to walk in the Spirit? No. It's easy to walk in the Spirit. Amen. It's easy to walk in the Spirit, Mama, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's easy, Miss Tanya, to walk in the Spirit. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Not right now, Mama. Maybe at the end. So the Bible says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's the crux of the matter. Let's wind it all the way to the end. Let's go to the book of James. This is where it gets harsh. I told somebody this afternoon that I was going to use this, and they said, really, that's why dispensationalists don't like the book of James, because it's so stinking harsh. They like to just say it's not for them.
Good dodge.
Good dodge. You're not going to get out from under it tonight. In fact, I'm going to do my best to bury you in it. James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Where do they come from? You are lust-filled. That's where they come from. You are lust-filled. You are lust-filled. That's where wars come from. You are lust-filled. That's why you war with other people. That's why you can't be at peace. It says the effect of righteousness is peace and assurance forever. You are lust-filled. You love lust. You love it. Verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Surprise, surprise. Ye fight and war. Ye have, yet ye have not. Because you ask not. Okay, well, I'll ask. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. Yet that ye may consume it upon your lusts. That's why you ask, because you're so lust-filled. Oh God, I want this. You are so lust-filled. You are so lust-filled. That's why things don't work out right for you. That's why it's all up and down. That's why it's all this way and that way. And, oh man, this is all bad and this... God has not called us to a life of that. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Quit believing your own thoughts. Quit living in your own thoughts. God despises your thoughts if they don't agree with Him. God said, repent and believe. Why don't we repent and believe God? Verse 4, it's all connected. It's perversion. Verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? That's the problem. You love the world. You're a friend of the world. And you know what? It works perversion. You cannot be a friend of the world and not be a pervert. If you're a friend of the world, you're a pervert. Connection. Ding. Use that. I'm not a pervert. I go to church. I read my Bible. You're a pervert if you're a friend of the world. You're a pervert. And if you're not buried yet, I'm going to keep reading. Amen. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? It said that. The spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the spirit. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know why you're resisted by God? Because you're proud. Because you're a proud pervert. You're proud. And you dwell and you live in your perversion. And you're proud. God has no place with the proud. God has a place for the proud, but he has no place with the proud. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The problem is, we talk about resisting the devil, but we never submit ourselves to God. When did you submit yourself to God? When do you submit yourself to God? You get renewed daily. The Bible talks about renewed in the inward man, the renewing work of the Holy Ghost. It's a daily occurrence. It's a daily occurrence. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, the Bible says you shall be filled. Do you hunger and thirst? You know what it says? I looked up that thing of renewal. You know what it says right around where it talks about renewing? It says to not think more highly of yourself than you ought. But you're proud. You're a proud people. I've heard people talk that Black Creek's a proud place. I believe it. Because if it wasn't, we'd walk in the spirit. We'd walk in the spirit if we weren't proud. Condemnation sealed. Done. It's true about us. We're proud. We're a proud church. We're a proud church that walks in our lust. If we weren't a proud church, we'd walk in the spirit. You think you're not proud not walking in the spirit? You don't walk in the spirit, but you're not proud. I don't have that problem. I don't walk in the spirit. I have some bad works in my life, but I'm not proud. You are so proud. You're proud to even think that. You're proud to even think that. Amen. Verse 8. Here it is. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. Verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You don't draw nigh to God. I do. No, you don't. You do not draw nigh to God. You don't draw nigh to God. If you drew nigh to God, God would draw nigh to you. Hey, this is a call of help. I wanted to preach this so that I could give a help. I want Black Creek to be known as a church that's nigh to God. You wouldn't have to preach about praying. You'd come into church and said, let the saints enter his house with praise. You'd come into church and said, lift up your hands, O saint. It said, shout aloud, O saint. You'd come into church praising God. You'd come into church praising God. We'd come into church getting excited to leave. We come into church excited to leave the house of God. You'd want to stay and talk to the brethren. You'd want to be friends with the brethren. Hear me out. Am I preaching it like it is? Amen and amen. I'm preaching it like it is. I want us to get help. I want us to be a church that's not proud and that is nigh to God. And it is as possible as Jesus Christ is alive. It is as possible as Jesus Christ is alive. You can be known as, you know why you don't ordain a novice? Because they don't have a good reputation of those that are without. Consider yourself not to be a novice. Do you have a good reputation of those that are without? Why don't you have a good reputation of those that are without? Because you're proud. You're probably a pervert. Amen and amen. Thirst, hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you shall be filled. But you're filled with your own lust. Your lust has you filled up to the brim. I heard a man of God preach, and he said the problem is you can't get any God in your life because you're too full. You're already filled up. If you were nailed to the cross as the Bible says that you are, if you lived like you were nailed to the cross as the Bible says that you are, sin would come by, pride would come by, and you'd look and you'd go, nope, I'm up here. Friends would say, hey, let's go off into some kind of sin. And you'd say, actually, I'm stuck here, bro. I'm nailed to the cross. You could live like that. God wants you to live like that. Did you know that God could save a lost person tonight and they walk in the Spirit better than you ever have? Do you know that God could take the most proud jerk of a lost person and make them walk in the Spirit more than you ever have? God's able to do that. You think of the person you despise the most, God could do that. God could do that. You got a problem with people? First off, you're not walking in the Spirit, you're sitting there judging people. Let's read this. Let's read what the Word of God says. Verse 8 again, because it's so unbelieved, we'll read it. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Ecclesiastes said, I believe, that it's better to go into the house of mourning than into the house of mirth. What's the problem? You're proud. You live as a proud person. You think as a proud person. You are lust-filled. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. It says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. That's when you put yourself above God's opinion of yourself. That's where you put yourself above the station that God's put you at. If you got really low, you might get to the feet of Jesus Christ. You might get to a place where He tells you to stay. We'll leave that there. Verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. I'm going to do this and this and this. Do you even walk in the Spirit? Let's just ask that question before you even start your plans for the future. I'm going to do this and that and this. And these are all in the will of God because I've said that I'm going to do these things. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? How quickly is your life over? How quickly does your life end? How quickly does your life end? Isaiah talks about that. In God's mind, how quickly does your life end? God says that 1,000 years is as a day to Him. Your life just began. I don't care how old you are. In the mind of God, your life just began. Literally, your life just began. You're alive. You know what? In a couple seconds in God's time, you're done. Just a couple seconds. And God will go, I really wanted that person to walk in the Spirit. I even saved them to do it. I even took away their condemnation. They'd never go to hell. I'll keep them for myself, God said. They didn't walk in the Spirit, though. They had a short time to do it. They had a short time. You know how you prove the will of God? If you wonder what the will of God is, you walk in the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll prove the will of God. You don't know the will of God because you don't walk in the Spirit. And so you go around helplessly grasping, blind. You're blind. God giveth light. God giveth light. God giveth instruction. God will make it clear to you.
Amen.
You don't believe that because you don't want to walk in the Spirit. Because you're full of lust and you're proud.
Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away.
If I lit a candle, if I lit a match up here and blew it out, we see that go up. That's what your life is in the mind of God. God loves that vapor. God loves you dearly, saint. God loves you dearly, lost person. What is your life? It's a vapor. I know young people that have died. I know old people that have died. It's a vapor. It goeth away. It endeth. There comes an end to life, Carl. It goes away. People die. But God's given us a wonderful miracle. He's given us the inward man. And we don't walk in it because we're proud. It's not because you have a hard time. My yoke is easy. There's no excuse, saint. There's no excuse for the sinner. It says in Romans 1, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. You can't find an excuse. Don't tell me one. I know the word of God. There's no excuse for the saint either.
For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil.
You rejoiced in your boastings. You boast. You boast of this thing or that thing totally out of the will of God. And God thinks it's evil. God thinks your boasting is evil. God considers your boasting and he says that it's evil.
Yes.
It's evil. Here it is. Let's bring it all down. Let's bring it all together. One verse. Verse 17. Let's bring it all together. Consider this. Consider whether you think you're righteous. How righteous are you?
Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Let's address the lost people. Do you know to repent and to believe? Do you it? You do not it. Therefore, it's sin. Saved person, are you told to walk in the Spirit and do you not? And if you don't, it's sin. That's what the Bible says. It's sin. Where's the excuse in that? There is none. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. Come all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Spirit and the bride, they say, come. I'm done.
Amen. Let me just say this real quick. When I was training, my pastor used to bring a man in to preach to us young men. His name was Newton Hamilton. He was raised in the Turks and Caicos Islands, and he ministered on Andros in the Bahamas. And he used to tell us young men this: don't you ever pray, keep me humble. You're full of pride if you're praying that. He says, make me humble. All right? Don't you ever pray, keep me humble. All right? That's a proud prayer. All right? Make me humble. Father, thank you for what we heard tonight. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Very good, John.